Good afternoon. Welcome back to Food Friday. It's 2 o'clock on July 11th. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff. Today, we are going to talk to Melanie O'Malley about her excellent, excellent bakery in Troy, O'Malley's Oven. Melanie is a self-taught baker. A little over 20 years ago, she and her mother and brother were diagnosed with celiac. In the years that followed, gluten-free products began to hit the market, most of which were expensive, and as Melanie puts it, taste of cardboard and broken dreams. A craving for cream puffs paved the way for O'Malley's Oven in Troy, New York. The oven offers a wide variety of desserts that play with flavor and texture, as well as a line of savory hand pies and bake-at-home flour blends. If you have questions about gluten-free baking, give us a call. The phone number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, V-O-X-P-O-P at wamc.org. Melanie O'Malley, welcome back to Food Friday. Good to see you.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We were joking before we went on air that you're never going to actually meet Ray Graff, the normal host of the show, because you made your debut last summer, we think, and I was here then too. So I'm keeping you all to myself.
Two's a coincidence, three's a pattern, so we'll have to see next time.
We'll have to see. How's it going over at O'Malley's Oven?
It's good. It's going really well. Excited that the rain has let up and our air conditioners work.
Yes.
So we're doing summer now.
That's great. What do you have on the menu currently that you're excited about? Tell us as much about it as you want to.
Well, right now, there's this wonderful couple. I did their wedding cake. And since then, her very sweet husband will shoot a message, when she graduates or accomplishes something. And she has a dairy allergy on top of gluten. So he'll give me an idea. And it's just the sweetest love language ever of, here's a thing she misses. Do you think you can figure it out? And so there was a devil dog cake that I made her. And right now, what we're playing with is Rice Krispies treats and Three Musketeers inspired things. So think nougat, crunchy, sweet, bringing all those flavors of her youth together into something. Although hopefully she's not listening to this. I can't remember if it's a surprise.
It's all right. We can move away from the specifics of the implementation and just talk about nougat. What sort of replacements do you have to make in those kinds of items, putting those kinds of flavors together to accommodate the food allergies?
Well, to accommodate strict allergies, because obviously we use dairy in the bakery. So if I know that I'm making something for someone with an allergy, I'll wipe. This is a trick for making meringue more stable, is you wipe your equipment with vinegar to make sure all the fat is gone. If there was residual fat from a buttercream or whatever, even though you washed it, sometimes fat likes to linger.
Don't tell me about it.
Yeah. So I use that technique to make sure that all residual dairy is off the equipment. So when I'm troubleshooting the recipe to just dial it in, I don't take those precautions. But if I'm making the final product for someone with a strict allergy, nuts, dairy, what have you, there are extra cleaning procedures. And then for nougat, the only thing in there that would really have dairy is the chocolate. And so it's a matter of, sourcing a dairy-free chocolate chip to melt down and figuring out those little things.
1-800-348-2551, the phone number to give us a call to speak about baking with Melanie O'Malley with a focus on gluten-free baking. That's 800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Are there challenges to having your recipes turn out the way you prefer when it is so rainy like it was in the spring into early summer, or as hot as it has been over the last several weeks?
Last year we learned that the humidity affects our bread, and so we had to learn how to troubleshoot the water content of the bread in humid weather. And then always meringue-based products. So a couple weeks ago, I make French macarons for Emac and Bolio and for our bakery. And a couple weeks ago, I just couldn't make
just
them.
Couldn't make
there,
them at
there
all.
There was no point in even trying and wasting the product during that little heat wave.
Yeah, little.
We have now two ACs in the bakery. So we can get it pretty temperate in there. But if it's so humid outside, by the time we're baking things, there's just certain products that aren't, they're not happening.
Not happening. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You just mentioned French macaron. Could you tell us about the process of making, about the, you know, how do you make those and what flavors do you choose for yours, etc.?
Well, they're a naturally gluten-free item unless the fillings or facilities are not gluten-free. So it's an almond-based cookie, meringue and almond flour. And there's fun ways you can flavor the cookie. I do teach a macaron class, and you can, if you're making your Italian syrup for the Italian meringue, so it's a sugar syrup. So sometimes I like to infuse the sugar syrup with a concentrated tea or a rosemary sprig. So that's one way you can put some flavor into the cookie itself. You can also use, you know, cocoa powders, cinnamon in your dry ingredients, or of course extracts. So my baseline, I do some vanilla and then I punch it up with a little almond extract too. And then the fillings, I mean, there's one I do that's really fun. It's key lime and tequila, and it's kind of like a margarita.
Yeah. Sweet margarita cookie. All right.
Yeah.
How summery.
Yes, exactly.
Does, you said you make them for Emac and Bolio's.
Yes.
Do they request flavors or kind of accept whatever you've, you know, whipped up for them?
Just whatever. I mean, there have been times where I don't do anything with alcohol in the fillings because they have such a strong child demographic
clientele,
coming in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And for the most part, I just let them know the flavors that are there. And once in a while, Aura, the owner, we're childhood friends. She'll let me know, like, hey, just so you know, that one didn't move as fast. But for the most part, whatever I give them just goes.
Great. I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
1-800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Melanie O'Malley from O'Malley's Oven in Troy, New York, is here this afternoon to answer your baking and gluten-free baking questions. Are there any other things that you batch make for other restaurants or you know, food spots in the region?
Yeah, so Nodders in Troy.
Nodders.
Oh my gosh, so great. And so John and I worked together ages ago, so it's really fun that we're sort of kitty corner, and I just love to see what he's doing there. They use our buttermilk sandwich rolls for their substitution buns, and I will say people often ask for celiac purposes. They are very careful. If you tell them that it's not just a gluten intolerance, they will take precautions, and I've never had an issue eating there. So they, you know, it's risky, but they do take thorough precautions. The Delaware, where New World used to be, on Delaware Avenue.
Yes, indeed.
I've been supplying their gluten-free bread for their bread basket. And then I just started, this one's kind of exciting. It's Little Pex in Troy.
Yes.
And I've started doing buttermilk biscuits, slicing bread for their avocado toast, and then a potato ciabatta roll for their sandwiches. And the reason it's exciting to me is so often you go somewhere and your gluten-free bread substitute is just that bread, no matter what you're ordering.
Right. Whereas, it's the gluten-free, singular gluten-free option. Right.
Exactly.
It's
like, whereas
here's
in
this
loaf.
Case,
it's like, if you want the breakfast sandwich on a biscuit, you're getting a gluten-free biscuit. If you want the avocado toast, you're getting that toast. If you want, you know, it's dish appropriate.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It must be, I mean, it's your job and your passion and you're doing it, of course, but it must be challenging to keep your shop full so that people can come in and buy things. You can supply the farmer's market and all of these other organizations. They're not organizations, other establishments. That's a better word for it. Establishments throughout the region. How do you manage your schedule? How do you make it all happen?
Wholesale orders have to happen earlier in the week.
Okay.
So, you know, the closer we get to Saturday, we're building up for the farmer's market. We're filling our pastry case. So I try to make the items for other, you know, business-to-business sales.
Yeah.
I try to do those on a Monday or a Tuesday to get it sort of out of the way earlier in the week. And then we do have, you know, limitations. I don't have the capacity to supply bread for another vendor right now.
Because
we're maxed out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Macarons take a lot. I will never do macarons for anyone but Aura because I love her. So there's limitations and space, storage, mixing. I just got a giant mixer, so now I'm able to do more bread, which is how I was able to bring on the Pex partnership. So it's slow but steady growth. It's really exciting.
Is getting a new big mixer like Christmas at the bakery? Was it is it really exciting to, you know, set it up and work it out and get to know it?
Yeah, it was. It's a used mixer. And my daughter and I drove all the way to Queensbury to pick it up from this lovely home baker, which meant very thorough cleaning, all the crevices, anywhere you can imagine flour will get into. So we did that thorough cleaning. We stopped for lunch at the Galley Bar and Grill because they have a dedicated gluten-free fryer. I'm shouting out all these other businesses.
Do
There's
it.
So
let,
much good gluten-free in this
know.
Area.
Yeah, yeah, let the people know. Be a gluten-free ambassador.
Yes, I think, yeah, the more of us, the better. So yeah, she had her first ever chicken wings, and that was really exciting, and brought it back, started the cleaning process. So now we have this big mixer. I'm able to do big batches of bread. I'm able to do our own flour blends. It's exciting.
1-800-348-2551. This is Food Friday on Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke here with Melanie O'Malley from O'Malley's Oven in Troy, New York. The phone number again, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll be back with questions after this. Welcome back to Food Friday. I'm Sarah LaDuke here with Melanie O'Malley from O'Malley's Oven in Troy, New York. This self-taught baker is, we've just designated her, gluten-free ambassador for the Capital Region and beyond, one of. And we will now go to some questions from listeners. Let's start with Catherine in South Fallsburg. Hello, Catherine.
Hi. I have a question about translating, like converting a regular recipe to a gluten-free recipe. I have a lot of family cookie recipes that I'd like to make gluten-free, and I haven't found the gluten-free flour substitutes the really satisfactory. They tend to be a little dry and grainy. Mm-hmm. Is there some formula, like I like using almond flour for a lot of recipes, but I know that it's got a lot of oil in it. I didn't know if there's some way to convert the recipe easily.
So usually when I'm looking at converting a recipe, like with a cookie application, for instance, I am using a white rice, tapioca, and cornstarch base.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on what the cookie wants to be, if it's a crispy sugar cookie versus a cakey sugar cookie, chocolate chip, that sort of thing. The trick is playing with your proteins and your fats, in my experience. So to achieve a chewy chocolate chip cookie, I'll bring in some cream cheese, not just butter. So it's a matter of finding the right flour blend conversion, and always make sure either your pre-mixed blend has xanthan gum or you're adding xanthan gum, because that's going to give you the gluey factor. And then you might need an extra egg white or some cream cheese, or bringing in fat in another way to keep it soft and moist.
Okay, so if I were, like, I have a shortbread cookie recipe that is basically just confectioner sugar, flour, and butter. Do I then need to add egg to that if I'm using a gluten-free flour? Like, I can't make it with, like, the recipe I have is so simple. You put the flour, the sugar, and the butter in the food processor, and you're done. But is there a way to do that with gluten-free?
Without looking at the recipe or, like, knowing exactly what you're going for, it's hard. But I would say, instinctually, I'm going to say you're going to want an egg white in there for protein. And you might want to mess around with offsetting some of your butter with sour cream.
Okay. Offset butter with sour cream. Is that because it's more moist?
Yes. And there's something, this is the hazard of being self-taught. I don't know the science behind everything, but there's something about the acidity in sour cream that I find plays really nicely.
Okay. And then have you ever used like almond flour, the nut flours in recipes?
Almond flour gets used in a lot of gluten-free substitutions. I prefer to use it where almond flour would normally be used, like our French macarons or our almond tortas, or making an almond paste for some Dutch style desserts. I have a Dutch regular who's very eager to bring some flavors of home. So I do use almond flour, but I don't put it places where almond isn't supposed to be, if that makes sense.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome, and you're welcome to shoot an email anytime. Converting recipes for people is something we're actually going to start getting into at the bakery. So shoot us an email. Yeah.
And the email is?
info@omalleysoven.com.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Catherine.
All right. Great.
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She really wanted you to just say, just switch this out for this.
It's not but that simple.
I know. I know. I mean, of course you wish it was.
It would be great.
For everyone.
So I have a big tub of pre-mixed pie blend. That's our pie blend for pie crust. But even our tart crust, it's the same flours, but there's just a little bit of difference between the sorghum content and the cornstarch content that gives the more flaky, crisp tart dough versus the chewy, flaky pie crust. And they aren't substitutable, I don't know if that's a word.
Substitutable.
Substitutable. They don't work for the same thing.
Gotcha. No, I mean, I'm like, so is it a word? Not able to be substituted. Huh. I really am not sure. 1-800-348-25, but I take your meaning, of course. You're still well communicated. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. The email address, again, voxpop@wamc.org. And that phone number, 1-800-348-2551. Let us go now to Lisa in Warwick. Hello, Lisa.
Hi there.
Hi.
My husband and I are both gluten-free and dairy-free, and I do a lot of baking, like cookies and cakes, with no problem. I substitute all the time. I've never had a problem. But with breads, I've never found a good bread that I can make. So I don't know if you can point me in the right direction for an already gluten-free, dairy-free recipe or substitutions I can make.
Bread... One thing you're going to want to make sure you're avoiding is any flour blend that has xanthan gum. So I just talked about xanthan gum for cookies as the gluey thing. Xanthan gum is going to yield a cakey crumb, whereas psyllium husk will give you the gluey factor that you need, but it can hold the air bubbles in a leavened baked good. So if you're using like store-bought gluten-free flour blends, you want to make sure there's no xanthan gum in the blend that you're using. I do know that King Arthur, I haven't personally used it, but King Arthur makes a bread flour that people rave about. So that might be a good place to check. I don't know, however, if it has dairy in it. My instinct is that it wouldn't because dairy is not necessary for the bread. I do know the Loopy Whisk is a website, and she has some good bread recipes that people have had success with. Personally, our bread I use, there's no dairy, and it's brown rice, sorghum, potato starch, and tapioca. And it's that balance of flours and starches. And then with the xanthan gum, you can usually get a nice airy loaf.
Okay.
You mean with the psyllium
husk. Check that out.
Yes. Oh, did I say xanthan gum?
You did that time.
Sugar plum fairies.
But it's okay.
Yes.
It's hard to keep track of these alien sounding things.
Psyllium husk, not xanthan gum.
Okay, and you said the Loopy Whisk is the website?
Yes. Yeah. There's, and if you've heard of on Facebook, there's a gluten free Albany group that is a great resource for people sharing websites and safe restaurants and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. I'll check them out. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very
welcome. Thanks for calling, Lisa. Have a great afternoon and a lovely weekend.
Thank you.
Sure.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. So when you were self-teaching yourself, you had to self-learn about psyllium husks and xanthan gum and all these other substitutes. Where did you go? Where, you know, where did you research? Mostly online, I imagine.
Yes, a lot of online. And it's interesting that she said she's had success with cakes and cookies, but is having trouble with bread. I, too, started with sweets, and it was very hard for me to figure out bread. And then conversely, there was this bakery I went to. They've since gone out of business. Her bread was amazing. And then I was very excited because her bread was amazing to try her sweets. And the sweets weren't very good. And so now I have this completely anecdotal and non-scientific theory that with gluten-free baking, it's very hard. If you come in on one side, say the bread side, it's very hard to figure out the sweet doughs. And if you come in on the sweet side, because it all behaves so differently.
Yeah.
It's wild. So with the bread, there's a lot more of hurry up and wait, I find, than with the baking, because you're waiting for the psyllium to jellyfy with the water and the yeast enough to be stable. And then you're like, you have to mix it a lot longer. Whereas with regular bread, you're worried about fatiguing the gluten.
Right.
That's not an issue for us. We're worried about saturating our starches and getting everything to disperse
psyllium
evenly.
Husks never get tired.
Nope. No, they don't.
I have no
yeast
idea.
Will, though. You don't want to overproof your yeast.
Right.
She gets sleepy.
She does. She gets used up.
Yep.
That reaction.
Don't we all? I mean, really.
Yeah, very relatable. That,
yes.
That yeast. 1-800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Of course, we're talking about making bread, but there are lots of different kinds of bread to make. You said specifically about little pecks, you're making biscuits and rolls, and those are obviously different. But even just with a loaf of bread, there's different kinds of loaves of bread. Do you have to further micro tune it? And what types of gluten-free bread can you currently make?
Currently, I make a short fermented sourdough. So I don't bother keeping a starter alive.
Okay.
Before anybody calls asking about a starter, I don't keep a starter alive.
There's no mother except Melanie.
Exactly. It's I can keep my child, living human, alive better than I can keep a starter alive.
Sure.
So we do a short fermentation. And so it's a nice mild sourdough, but it has that crunchy, crusty, thick slice slab of butter thing
goodness
that I missed for so long.
Sure.
So we have that. We have what my daughter calls her soft bread, which is our sandwich bread. That's what Pex is using for their avocado toast. The trick with that was finding, honestly, the pan. So getting gluten-free bread to rise vertically. I'm sure anyone listening who has to eat gluten-free bread can identify with buying. It's always a smaller loaf. And the boules are always a little more squatty than tall. So getting the pan that could hold a loaf vertically so that it would rise up, you know, that was the final part. I couldn't get it. And then actually Kyle from Little Pex was like, try one of these pans. And that was it. It was just having the right tool for the job, which, I mean, so cliche. But for a reason.
not entirely obvious, I wouldn't think.
No.
Certainly not. And then also, I'm just loving how much you guys over there in Troy are all helping each other out all the time. It's so great.
Oh, I love it. The community that we have there with all the different businesses helping each other. And it's not just, I mean, obviously the farmers market is a huge part of that. But now having a storefront down there and getting it on that level, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's so great.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You ready to go back to the phones?
Let's do it.
Okie doke. Here is Katie in Amherst. Hello, Katie.
Hi. So I was listening in, and I think everything that you're talking about is super interesting. I go to pastry school in Boston, and a couple of weeks ago, we did gluten-free baking, and all my cakes came out really like grainy and dense. So I was wondering what flours you use when you make your cakes.
My cake blend is pretty straightforward. It's white rice, tapioca, and corn. No, yes. White rice, tapioca, and cornstarch. And then there's ratios and breakdowns in that. But I think I probably, in my cakes, I use more egg than you might. It's been 20-something years since I baked normal baking.
Sure.
So you would be the better judge of this, Katie. Yeah, I think I use maybe one more egg than you would in a traditional cake. So again, like I was telling the other caller, finding other fats to bring in and other proteins to bring in to bolster the structure.
Thank you very much.
Katie, what kind of flours did you use in your cake at baking school?
I actually used the King Arthur brand. And I think I used one other one, but I can't remember what it was. But I just found it to be a little grittier than the cakes I normally bake.
That was part of why I started doing my own flour blend. So the trick is, if you look at the ingredients on the shelf blends, if it has more rice flours or sorghum flours, those are going to be grainier. If the balance between flours versus starches isn't a sort of equal, you're going to have a grainier crumb.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Thanks for calling. Jinx.
Thank you for answering.
Of course. Have a great afternoon.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Let's take another call and go to Maureen in Albany. Hello, Maureen.
Hi there. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I had a question. I have family members who are gluten-free. One also has a problem with corn. And I'm trying to make dumpling dough, like for pierogies.
Hmm. Yeah. So you want a thin rollable dough that you can press into a pierogi or fold into a dumpling. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. My dumpling pierogi dough does have cornstarch in it, but you could achieve a flour blend that avoids corn by using a mixture of tapioca and potato. I would have to play with it a little. But it's very doable. Absolutely. And this one's interesting. So we've talked about xanthan, we've talked about psyllium.
You have another one?
It's both.
Oh my goodness.
This is one example.
It's never been done before.
Where I do both. When I do pierogi and dumpling dough, I find that using both of them, a little bit of psyllium, a little bit of a xanthan gum, makes it super elastic. And so I'm able to shape it and stretch it around the fillings. And I do teach the class too. So I would say you would be able to achieve it with a mixture of, you want sweet white rice flour. It's stickier. Sometimes it's called high glutinous rice flour, which is terrifying, but it's different gluten. try mixing that rice flour with tapioca and potato starch.
Okay, I will do that. Well, thank you so much. And what is your company?
O'Malley's Oven.
O'Malley's Oven.
Okay. O'Malley's Oven in Troy, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
okay.
I talked over you, Maureen.
Oh, that's okay. and that's where you give your classes at O'Malley?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, good. Alrighty, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Take care.
1-800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Melanie O'Malley from O'Malley's Oven in Troy, New York is our guest on this Food Friday. Your baking, and particularly gluten-free baking questions, could be posed in the final segment of the show if you take a sec and call 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Melanie O'Malley and me, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Food Friday. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The phone number to call with your baking questions for Melanie O'Malley of O'Malley's Oven in Troy, New York is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the show, voxpop@wamc.org. let's go to Chris in Housatonic. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Sharon, Melanie.
Hi.
I got a couple questions for you. Have you ever made a mocha cheesecake? And have you ever made papaya rolls? And finally, have you ever made white tea cheesecake and papaya mousse?
Have you ever made any of those many things?
I have not made any of those many things. I've made many cheesecakes, so that, you know, infusing cheesecake with different flavors is pretty straightforward. All of this sounds delicious and inspirational.
Can you
for
make
sure.
a? Can you make a green tea cheesecake?
Yes, absolutely. You use matcha powder, and you can make almost anything green tea flavored.
Last question, Melanie. How about a papaya cheesecake?
Oh, I'm sure. Maybe using the way I would do it is probably do a cheesecake and then have a nice concentrated papaya
like drizzle on top
or swirled through.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah,
I'm probably making Sal's mouth watery.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good.
I do love a papaya. Delicious. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All good, Chris?
All right. That's it, Sarah.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Chris.
800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Teresa and Latham. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great.
I recently learned that I have a gluten intolerance.
Sorry.
And
but you'll
so
be fine.
It's going to be fine. And I also have been working with baking some breads and doing some other things. But I want the advice on how do we start? Where do you recommend a person start to learn how to make baked goods without gluten?
Trial and error.
Build
up your appetite.
I don't like it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That especially that. We were joking about in this economy. You know, early on when I was learning, there was a lot of error, but it stung less because things were less expensive 20 years ago.
Yeah. All the ingredients.
Yep, exactly. I would say, you know, start with, so King Arthur and Bob's Red Mill both have good gluten-free, you know, on-the-shelf flour blends that you could start to play with. And what is there something specific you're missing and longing for?
Well, I switched out, like for a wacky cake, for instance, I switched out the measure for measure, and it was fine. It was tasty. Mm. You know, I find that the hardest thing to do is to try to switch out no dairy and no gluten. Mm. That's what I've experienced anyway. But eggs are fine. And your suggestion to the earlier caller about adding an extra egg for a cake, that is really sensible. When are you teaching your classes?
We do our classes in the winter months because in the summer, between the busier farmers market and weddings and all that sort of stuff, it's just too busy unless you have a private group.
Okay.
If you have a private group, we can book a class on a Wednesday evening, and then I'll post a regular class schedule.
How many do we need for a private group?
4 to 6 people. 4 to 6, okay. Not
well,
4 to 6.
I want some guidance. I consider myself a good cook, but this has been a challenge because it's a chemistry experiment.
Yeah. Well, and come by the bakery anytime.
Okay,
I'm happy to shoot the breeze.
Start?
What was that?
Well, thanks. Where do you suggest you start? Savory or sweet?
Ooh.
It's kind of a choose your own adventure, we think.
Yeah. I mean, the sweet in terms of baking is a little more chemistry based, I find, because savory in my mind is just, I don't know, it's playful. For some reason, savory I feel less stress about. So for you, you know, choose what you're most comfortable with and ease your way in.
I've been trying to ease my way, but I appreciate the offer. For beginners, you have a beginner's class sometime in the fall, winter, and so I will look for that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so very
welcome. I will come in and shoot the breeze. What a wonderful idea.
We have to turn a question on you, though, because both of us didn't know what a wacky cake is. What's a wacky cake?
Oh, in the during the war, when eggs were limited, milk and eggs, which is the standard.
Right.
It's a cake where you mix the cocoa with the flour and the baking soda, and you put three holes in, and it has oil, vanilla, and vinegar, white vinegar.
Oh.
And it gives you that reaction, and it also gives you a beautiful, dense cake, because the oil you choose means that it doesn't have any cholesterol, generally.
Interesting.
So, it's a wonderful cake to make for people. It also comes out so delicious in a bundt that I just put a powdered shake of powdered sugar on top of it. I don't even really frost it. It's just that good. It is King Arthur's chocolate sheet pan cake that they originally made in the 40s or so, and it's a doubled recipe to put in the – so anybody can find it. But it's called Wacky Cake, and it's everybody loves it. I've never had anybody say they didn't think it was wonderful.
Well,
it makes a great gluten-free cake, and it might be something fun you could try at your store.
Well, that sounds kind of similar to proper red velvet cake, not just chocolate cake with vanilla dyed red, but proper red velvet cake has vinegar and buttermilk in it. And what I like to do is, and that I suggest to you if you want to play around with this, instead of white vinegar, also be careful with white vinegar. If it's not distilled, it is not gluten-free. So it has to be distilled vinegar to be gluten-free.
How did the gluten get in there?
Because it's grain. It's a grain vinegar. And if it's not distilled.
That's good. That's good. Because I usually use apple cider vinegar when I make it, actually, because that's usually what I have on hand. But that's an excellent point.
Yeah. But you try using a balsamic reduction.
Ooh.
To give it a really rich flavor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
King Arthur calls for a teaspoon of espresso powder.
That is a great way to punch up your chocolate every time.
It works great. Well, it's a pleasure. I've been really enjoying your show. Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. Oh, my goodness.
we are of the same greeting ilk. We keep jinxing. 1-800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. A familiar is calling. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Melanie.
What?
Nick.
What's up?
What number was I supposed to hit on the oven?
P4.
For the dark bread?
P4. Yeah.
And next question, how many of those cookies did you make this morning? Can I eat?
You can eat two of them.
Two of them?
Yes.
All right. That's it.
Okay.
It feels like an abuse of the connection, right. You guys. No, just teasing. Just teasing. Right. Have a great day, Nick. Good luck with the oven.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
800-348-2551. Do you have presets on the oven?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's never done that one. And if we don't bake it soon enough, then it takes forever to cool.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for allowing.
Of course. No, of course. Of course. What? Who am I to prevent the making of treats? That would be an antithesis of everything I stand for.
It's Food Friday. Yeah. We're making the food live on the radio.
Well, Nick is.
Well, yeah.
1-800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll go now to John in Hyde Park. Hello, John.
Hey, Sarah, it's John Fisher. How are you?
Oh, hi, John Fisher. I'm well. Good to hear from you. John is also a Food Friday guest. He does cocktails and sake and beer.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
Well, I haven't had anything to drink yet, but I do have a suggestion for a reference book on cooking gluten-free, which is from one of the chefs of the culinary named Rick Coppedge, C-O-P-P-E-D-G-E. A number of years ago, he wrote a book, it's like 150 recipes of gluten-free baking, and he's always been the gluten-free expert at the CIA. And when I was running teaching in the restaurants, whenever we got gluten-free customers, we'd get bread from his kitchen, and we actually had a customer.
Ooh, John, you're breaking up. Are you moving around? Stop it.
Sorry. There was a woman who cried.
The suspense.
Probably because the bread was good is what I'm thinking.
She cried tears of joy.
It sounds like it, if we're guessing. This is a choose your own adventure call now as the cell phone drops out.
I choose joy. It was a raving success.
But yeah, so I think the book is still in print. So it's by Rick Coppedge, and I think it could be good for a lot of the people who've been asking how to get started.
Brilliant.
Didn't you retire from the culinary? Why are you still touting their books? Just kidding. I'm just teasing. Because they're good.
I was born to serve.
Of course. All right. Thank you for calling, John. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Of course. Bye-bye. That was by Rick Coppedge is the author and baker's name. Rick Coppedge. Coppedge. Melanie, what do we need to know about your rest of your summer plans, not personally, but professionally, bakerily?
Weirdly, they are one and the same.
Sure.
I will
sure.
be baking personally.
And professionally.
And professionally. Yeah, the farmer's market, of course, is outside now. So downtown Troy is just exploding every Saturday. The bread program at the bakery is big. Oh, the last bread. There was one more bread I didn't tell you about.
Oh, good.
Which
tell
is
me.
Our fake rye.
Fake rye.
Fake rye, because rye is glutinous. And so I mess around with a bunch of caraway, but it's not just, there's not seeds throughout the bread. There's a little on top of the bread so I can tell it apart from the sourdough.
It's a good trick.
Yes. But I know that people don't generally like seeds throughout the bread. Yes. Don't come for me. I know there are people who love
the seeds.
Of course.
Many people do.
Seedy.
It's
yes.
not the majority we would guess.
Yes. And, you know, everybody's right in their own yeah. food.
Yeah, yeah. We're not yucking
our
your yum.
Our bread has no seeds within the loaf, but seeds on top. But then using caraway to make a tea and then powdered caraway. So it's really rich in that fake rye, sly rye. I'm doing air quotes. We're on the radio. It doesn't matter.
Right. I think you can hear it in your voice. You're conveying
yes,
it very
rye.
Well. That it's like rye, wink,
yes.
wink, not rye.
Rye. So that's been exciting, is rolling that out. So we have a more selection of bread on Saturdays at the farmer's market than we do during the week. We have our French baguettes. And so there's the bread is like the new exciting thing happening at the bakery. And Nick, bless his heart, is really good at cranking out the walnut tarts and the tortas. So, you know, we've got our base sweets, and then, you know, like the one customer emailing and asking for this kind of Three Musketeers-y cake
right.
and these custom things. I love that. Like,
yeah.
I love getting a challenge and inspiration from people and what they're craving. So that's always fun, and I love to play around with that.
Is your daughter still helping out in the kitchen?
Yes.
How old is she?
She is now 4.5, and which brings with it some complications, because I feel bad. There's some things that I just need to crank it out for a deadline, or it's just a product that isn't very conducive to two people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll get a little frustrated, sometimes get a little more iPad than I really wish was happening. But she loves baking and explaining to customers, we're gluten-free. Mama has a bakery because I'm gluten-free. and she'll draw pictures. Some people came in the other day and received custom O'Malley's oven menus. Air quotes again.
Air quotes again, right. Beautiful original artwork.
Yeah, you know, there are some days you walk in and there's a bunch of crayons on the floor in the front of the bakery, and we just really work hard to make sure it's not a full tripping hazard. But there is a small human running around a lot of the time. So that the joy of that and all the playful things that I come up with to bake with her, you know, informs some of our menu selection as well. So, you know, we're a living, breathing entity in all ways possible
yeah.
at this bakery.
What are some of the things that she's, you know, prompted you to come up with? What are some of the things you've worked on together over the last, 4.5? She probably didn't start as an infant, so a couple of years.
Well, I mean, there were things, you know, I want to make this for her to learn to eat. But the big one, this was a first. She is really okay with eating a different diet. She's used to friends having different food. You know, at birthday parties, I'll bring her pizza and they have pizza. This was her first ever sort of FOMO. her older sisters like to eat the Scooby snacks. So think dog biscuits, but kind of, I think, like animal crackers. I've never eaten one.
Oh, right.
But it's animal cracker-esque.
Sure.
But it looks like a dog biscuit. So this is how I found myself ordering dog treat trays from from the internet.
Yeah. Dog bone-shaped molds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And coming up with a Scooby snack recipe because she felt left out because her sisters were eating dog biscuits.
Well, and yeah.
So, you know, now upon request, we do have the capacity to make Scooby snacks at O'Malley's Oven.
I was so worried that you weren't. And now I know. When my sister was little, she ate real dog bones until she was like 8 years old.
I had a lot of friends in high school who did that, yeah.
Melanie, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
O'Malley's Oven is in Troy, New York. Support for Food Friday comes from the Cheese Traveler, Albany, a purveyor of handcrafted domestic and imported cheeses, charcuterie, pantry items, grilled cheese, curated from farms, dairies, and producers locally and around the globe, thecheesetraveler.com. Farmers India Market, offering fresh produce, spices, and international foods from India, Afghanistan, the Caribbean, and the Middle East. A wide variety of ready-to-eat fare and desserts. Central Ave at the Kohl's Plaza in Colony. And Barrington Brewery, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, celebrating 30 years with solar brewed beer served 6 days a week, serving 9 beers on tap and 1 cask-conditioned ale. Full menu available for lunch and dinner, barringtonbrewery.net. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took your calls today. Thank you again for joining us. We'll see you on Monday for Medical Monday. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Have a great weekend.